Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've already started and had with you in worshiping you in song. We just ask that that would continue, that your presence would be here in a powerful way, Lord. We lift you up. We lift your name up. We lift the name of your Son up, and we lift the Holy Spirit up. I just ask right now, Lord, that you would work in this time that we have together, that you've drawn each person here for your specific reason. And I pray that that would be borne out in what's shared, in the work of your Spirit in each one of our hearts and lives today, right now. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your abiding presence and your love for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So you've had opportunity to share, I'm hoping, most of you. Part of that process then in pairing and sharing is that then there's opportunities for people to share what the person that they heard share with them shares to the whole group. Now, I could put somebody on the spot, but I think I'll ask for volunteers. Is there somebody that would like to share what they heard their partner, their pair, or triad share? Oh, come on. It's not painful. You just have to share what you heard, not what you said. All right. Oh, I can always count on you.
So Kirby shared with me that she grew up in a family that didn't really pray. And she grew up at a young age, like, talking to God, just communicating with him, which was something that stood out to her later in life as strange. And then there was this one time where she was 12, and she had this Bible that someone had given her from one of the, like, eventful times that they'd gone to church. And she'd never really opened it, but she turned over one morning before school, and she was like, I'm going to open this thing up and read from it. So she did the whole, like, plop, drop, point to a page. It was Isaiah 55, and it was something about, as the rain and the snow go to the earth and do not return to the heavens, and they water the plants and the seeds and all of that, so does my word water the soul. And so she was like, okay, whatever, and, like, went about her day getting ready for school, went downstairs, and her mom was like, why are you up? Kirby was like, well, because it's school time, and I'm 12, and I got to go to school. And her mom was like, well, no, it snowed, and there's a delay, which was a big deal because it didn't really snow there. And so then Kirby went back upstairs and ended up reading the rest of Isaiah 55, and that was a powerful moment.
See, it's simple. Even a 23-year-old can do it. Somebody else? Now's when the teacher takes the prerogative, you know. All right. I know you're always good for sharing.
I don't think I am always good at this, but we actually were, all three of us that got together talked about, we considered getting to know the Lord when he kind of came to us and regenerated us and gave us a heart for him. And but we were also talking about how, thinking back, when we were very young, at least John and I were, that we feel like before that time, there were certain little impressions and mysteries of life that spoke to us of his being as well. And we were kind of thinking about those two types of things. So.
Thank you, Gail. See, you knew exactly what you needed to share. All right, somebody else, volunteer, come on. There's got to be a great story in this. I mean, those are great stories too, but there's got to be another one.
I hope I don't embarrass him, but one of the witnesses that was given in our group was that as a young boy, he was an atheist. And his brother kept trying to drag him off to church, and finally he gave in. And he attended here, and I don't know who this Renee was, But this Renee was speaking in tongues, and he had gone to school with her. He knew for sure this was the real thing. And he was so moved by the presence of God through her that he obeyed the gospel and was baptized and has been a Christian since. And like all of us, still struggle, but loves the Lord, and he's here this morning. And I was really moved by that.
Thank you, Nita. Encounters with God are special, right? I mean, we should be sharing that kind of stuff all the time with each other. They can happen in everyday occurrences. It doesn't have to be at church. It doesn't have to be some particularly holy place. Of all places that I encounter God, it's not a holy place. Not at all. The Anchor River is not holy. Particularly on the Memorial Day weekend. Okay, but yesterday morning, I encountered God on the river. And I'm not being facetious. When I catch a king salmon and get to just glory in that part of his creation, the hookup, the playing the fish, and just seeing a fish run and take off and then working it back up to the beach, and then when it starts to tire and lays itself over, and the beauty of it. Sheldon, is there anything quite as beautiful? I mean, other than dude sitting beside you, but I mean, a king salmon has got to be one of God's best works ever. I mean, the colors of that fish, the beauty of its flesh, I mean, it's hard to find something that's a little bit more beautiful than that. And God, the thing about God is that God glories in that. He glories in us glorifying him in that situation. He created us to glorify him and to glory in those situations that he gives us. It's just a taste, because I imagine that the colors on a king salmon are going to pale in terms of what we're going to experience in heaven or within his presence. It'll be amazing is what it's going to be. It's going to amaze us all. Verses that talk about glorifying or magnifying God. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you've got a Bible or some textual way of finding these. But we're going to go through them pretty quick. Psalms 103, 19 through 22, it talks about the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. And that psalm continues in that vein. And then in Psalm 33, 1 through 5, it says, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Psalm 68:26 talks about a corporate magnification. It says, bless God in the congregations. Bless God in the congregations, even the Lord, you who are the fountain of Israel. Psalm 104, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2 say, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or can show forth all his praise?" That's a good question. Psalm 111, 1 through 10. "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly." That's what we are. We are the assembly. "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever." Psalm 117, 1 through 2. "Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord." Psalm 135, 1 through 3. "Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely." Psalm 150, 1 through 2. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness." Luke chapter 1, verse 46. It's from Mary talking to the Lord. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord." Talk about magnification. Exalting the Lord. "My soul exalts the Lord." In Luke also, chapter 19, verses 37 through 38, "As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" That was a congregation. That was a group. That was the church. That was the early church, the earliest church. 1 Chronicles 16, 28 through 29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array." I got way too many verses here. I got three more pages. And I don't have the time. But I'm going to read just the reference so that you know where these might be and how you might go about just grabbing a hold of some of this truth. Psalms 100, 1 through 2. Psalm 5, verse 7. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. Malachi, chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 28 through 29. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. Psalm 63, 3 through 4. Psalm 69, which is the verse that I shared with you, 30 and 31. Psalm 86. Let me go back to that 69. 30 and 31. 30 talks about, you know, magnifying with thanksgiving. 31 says, "And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs." I don't know how many don't have horns and hoofs, but "it will please the Lord," your magnification in thanksgiving will please him more than the sacrifice. Psalm 86, 12 through 13. Psalm 96, 3 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 through 11. Revelation 15, verses 2 through 4. Revelation paints some great pictures of the magnification of God happening with the saints. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 through 16. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 13. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. John chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. 1 Timothy 1 through 17. That's one of my favorites. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's in Timothy. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. So, very quickly, if you'll turn to that same person that you paired and shared with, the thing that I was going to do is you're going to have to find somebody you didn't know, but we don't have enough time to do that. So you've been saved this time. But Matt may pick up on it. But I want you to very quickly share with the person that you were sharing with, share with them a verse, hopefully something even different than the ones that I've just shared now, and maybe you recognize one of these verses as a verse that's a favorite of yours. Share with them a verse that really causes you to see that magnification, that glorification of God. I'm going to give you a minute, so you got to do it quickly. All right, we've had our minute. Anybody have a verse that I didn't list off that really speaks to you about glorifying, magnifying God, or an example of that in the Word? Yes.
Psalms 23.
Can you say that again?
Psalms 23.
Psalms 23. Excellent. Somebody want to read that for us? Psalm 23? Who's got that? Or somebody know it by heart? I know Jim would probably have it. Nobody's got that? I can pull it up. You got it. Good.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I'm sure that we could spend another hour going through different favorite verses that draw us or lead us there to that magnification of God, that glorification piece. We don't have that. Well, we do have that hour, but we're not going to take it. One last thing. How many of you know what this is? It's a hymnal. How many of you know what hymnal is? Okay. So hymnals are kind of out of vogue, right, in the church, unless you go to something that's pretty traditional. But hymns, just like Scripture, and oftentimes they use Scripture in hymns, hymns can be a wonderful source of magnifying God and glorifying God. And I'm not saying just hymns, because it doesn't talk about hymns in the Bible. It talks about songs, right? So songs, these are forms of songs, right? There are other forms of songs. We sang some of them today. We actually had a couple of them that would be referenced as hymns today. One of them was a modified hymn, right? Had a little extra in it. And the other one was just a straight up hymn. Okay? I want you to, how many of you know that a hymnal is categorized? Okay? A hymnal, like this one, it doesn't have it in the front. But if you look in the back of a hymnal, it has two different things. It has an alphabetical index of the songs, so that if you remember the title of a song, you could go look for it. Or if you're looking for something in particular as far as like a topical index, for instance, if I wanted to look for worship and praise, which is kind of what we're talking about today, right? Worship and praise. If I look under worship and praise, looking in the W's, it gives me a whole host of hymns that are about worship and praise. They even split it up between praise for God our Father and Jesus our Savior in some hymnals. This one in particular does that. This, because I'm a spouse to a musician, is a hymnal for somebody that's going to be sitting at a piano, so it doesn't fall closed on them when they're playing. And this one happens to have a little different index. All of the worship God glorification songs start at 317. Now, when I was a kid, we sang hymns in church. We also sang a lot of those little, we had the Psalter, I think it was called, or something of that sort of little paperback deal that had all the 70s tunes in it, right? Three chords and praise Jesus. But we also sang out of this. But the thing that I remember most about the hymnal is that on Wednesday nights, because we did church on Wednesday nights too, Wednesday nights were just singing your favorite hymns. Because somebody would sit at the piano and you'd call out a number. And whoever was leading it, sometimes it was the lady playing the piano and sometimes it was a person up there doing this, which they didn't, I don't think they really knew what they were doing, but they tried. And we sang hymns that we all loved. And it was worship, I believe. Now, who knows the hearts of men? Right? Not the shadow, for those of you that listened on the radio a long time ago. God. God knows the hearts of men. So he knows what's worship and what's just somebody singing. And that's the crux of this whole thing, is that it has to do with our heart, and it has to do with our relationship with him individually. But when we come together like this, when we are the church, there's something about this that's glorifying to God. Not that it's better than what you do personally with God on a regular, hopefully on a regular basis, because coming here on a Sunday, and if that's all you do to feed yourself spiritually, that's not enough. It will never be enough. And in fact, our corporate worship will be less if that's what you do. Our corporate worship depends on you being an individual worshiper during the week. What we do on our own time away from here, the little brief amount of time that we have here, what do we have, like an hour and 45 minutes? That's the crux of it. We get to gather together and to glorify God, but if you aren't prepared individually, the glorification of God, the magnification of God is less because of it. Now, I'm talking to believers here, right? I'm talking to people. There may be people in our group that are not believers. That's fine. Hopefully, what you're hearing right now is that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, and he wants to be glorified by you, and he is such a huge being that we should want to glorify him, that we should want to magnify him. And the fact that he's such a huge being and he cares for us individually, that he would send his son to die on a cross, his son in form, in manly form, but God, he provided a way for us. That should even cause us a greater glorification and magnification of him. So, for those of us that are believers, that we count Christ as our Savior, that we know that we are secure in that, we need to have that regular worship time, glorifying God, lifting him up. And for if you're not a believer, I would highly recommend, no, I would direct you to talk to somebody that you know is a believer who can outline for you the steps of choosing Christ, asking him to become the Savior of that he already is of your soul, and that you would be able to join in this corporate body, not just the group that meets here on Sundays. I mean, we're talking about a huge group of people if you're talking about corporate church, talking about people that are meeting all over the world right now, in the name of Jesus. We're part of that. We're part of that church. We have that opportunity to just praise him and magnify his name above all others, above everything else. So I'd invite the worship team to come up. And that's a misnomer too, as far as I'm concerned. They're the music team, okay? They're going to perform, they're going to do music, and it's going to be worshipful, okay? And it's just a pet peeve. They're not the worship team. We are the worship team, right here. We get to worship.
Amen.
So let's get that rolling. And I want to remind you also that we have prayer teams that would love to pray with you if you have a prayer need, or if there's... if you have a question about Christ and about what he's done for you, they're willing and able to help you with that too. So let's stand.
I like that, Pete. We're the musicians and you guys are the choir, right? That's kind of how it should be, right? As we close with this song, I think it's just appropriate to ask. Sometimes we just need to ask and go into prayer before the Lord. And on a Wednesday night, if we were doing this type of message, I would ask the kids, I'd say, just ask the Lord for that fresh experience of worship with him. And when we're asking him, we have kind of an open heart and an open mind. And then we're more able to see and be ready for when he's encountering with us. Let's ask him then as we close with this. Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. And take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you who's the Lord. Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. And take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you who's Lord. I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow down.
Take my threat, take my fear, all I have, I'm leaving here. Be all my hopes, be all my dreams, be all my delight.
Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for being such an immense, eternal God. You stretch beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. And you have in control way further than we can even grasp. I thank you, Lord, for what you do for us each and every day, that you work in our lives. That you desire to have a relationship with us, that you desire for us to talk with you. I just pray that we would magnify you, Lord, and glorify you in a way that would bring that to bear in all that we do. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. I ask your blessing on this group of people today and in the week to come. Bless them. Bless them in their work, in their families, situations that they are in. Lord, you have placed in each one of our lives the what we need. We need to rely, we need to rest in that. Thank you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.
I will worship, and you, Lord, only you, Lord. I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. worship you.